Wall near Calexico, California, on Friday. During the visit, the president will take part in a roundtable discussion with local law enforcement officials. Then the president is expected to attend a fundraising dinner in Los Angeles. Calexico is about 100 miles to the east of San Diego. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
As the weather starts to warm up, kids in Colorado have reason to be happy. More from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Colorado kids can operate side businesses now without having to get hassled by the cops, as Governor Jared Polis has signed the so-called lemonade stand bill into law, allowing children to operate temporary businesses without having to get a permit. The bill got its start after police shut down a lemonade stand in Denver's Stapleton neighborhood last summer. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Democrats on Capitol Hill held a press conference calling on the Trump administration not to dissolve Obamacare.
Today, Senate and House Democrats are introducing resolution to reverse this misguided and cruel decision by the Trump administration's Department of Justice.
Senate Minority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer of New York. President Trump recently tweeted that he would not tackle health care reform until after the 2020 election. This is USA Radio News.
The tradition. The suspense. The race. Here's your chance to experience the Kentucky Derby firsthand. Rocket Mortgage is giving away 20 VIP trips to Churchill Downs to witness the Kentucky Derby. And one lucky winner will receive $250,000 toward a new home or pay off their mortgage. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com.
No purchase necessary. 21 years or older. Ends on April 7, 2019. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
More on one of our top stories. President Trump's threats to shut down the U.S. southern border raise fears of economic consequences. Business leaders and economists warn a border shutdown could negatively impact trade on things like fruits, vegetables, while cutting off people who commute over the border. Republican Congressman Mike McCall of Texas on what his experience was like down on the U.S.-Mexico border.
So I went down to President Obrador's inauguration. I've chaired the U.S.-Mexico IPG for 10 years, and I've been very involved in it. Yeah, they're my neighbor to the south. I don't view them as an enemy. They're our largest trading partner, Texas. So, you know, I think if you seal the border, you're going to cut off significant trade, and it'll have a significant, you know, impact on the economy. And I think the president made that statement out of frustration. I think he's very frustrated that we have 100,000 per month now trying to get into the country. And that's probably why he's threatening to cut the foreign aid off as well. He's in a very, we tried to change some of these laws, but we were unable to do that. And so I think he's doing a lot of this out of frustration. I don't think he's going to actually completely shut off the border. It would have a significant impact on our economies.
And finally, a controversial red flag bill in Colorado is on its way to the governor's desk. The State House approved the Senate amendments to the bill yesterday. It passed by a 38-25 margin and calls for temporarily seizing guns if a person is considered to be a threat. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hey, it's Joe Peters. It's April 2nd. We missed April Fool's Day by one day. April 2nd, 2019, we're in scenic downtown Flemington, New Jersey, and it is 4:06 p.m. We're going to do our Real Estate Matters show. Before I do that, they've asked me to give you the news and a few commercials. I'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So I think I said news. I meant to say weather. And it is a pretty nice day right now. It is 52 degrees. And it looks like we're going to stay warm this week. We're going to be a low of 36 overnight. It was 30 when I got up this morning, so that's better than last night. 63 tomorrow, 37 overnight, 59 on Friday, 37 overnight. It's going to start raining overnight on Friday, and it looks like it's going to rain pretty much all day, rain overnight on Thursday and all day on Friday. And it's only going to hit 48 on Friday, but back to 68 on Saturday. So it doesn't sound like there's any more of that white stuff out there. And it also sounds like we're headed towards spring. So I'll be talking a little about that as far as the real estate goes. Let me play a few more and I'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So I try to play that before I get started so I don't have to spend time introducing myself. I do real estate, of course, Hunterdon and Somerset County. I do residential real estate. I've been doing it for about 15 years, and it is a very, very active market. Once those little yellow daffodils stick their head through the ground, the only flower that the deer will not eat because they're toxic, so they're safe, people start listing their houses and start looking to buy houses. As a matter of fact, it didn't slow down because we didn't have a very severe winter. So I thought I'd dedicate today's show to pricing strategies, what you need to consider when you're listing your house for sale and how you arrive at a price. And it's pretty scientific, but most people try to treat it as pretty emotional. And then on top of all of that, they said the worst thing that they've ever seen is a realtor trying to price his own house when it goes for sale. I do not have that going on right now, but I've done about four listings in the last two or three weeks, and I think what I can share with you today will help you understand what you should be thinking about when you're pricing your house. The very first thing is to understand that you don't set the price on your house. you may decide what you're going to list it at, but the price that gets set is the price that the buyer will pay for your house. It's just like selling your car. You may think it's worth $28,000, and the market may think it's worth $18,000. And guess what? You're going to sell it for $18,000, or you're going to keep it. Your house is very similar, and we have scientific ways of doing this. But the first thing that you've got to consider is a strategy in pricing. And as I said, we're going to spend a whole 45 minutes today talking about this. But it's very much like The Price is Right. Remember that show that used to be on TV? If it's on, I don't know where it is anymore, but I know I can remember watching it for years. You had to guess the price without going over. And that's what you need to do on your house as well. You need to set the price without going over what it is worth, and you will in turn get more for your house than if you set the price quite a bit above where it should be and then sit around and wait. Now, I've had many customers who have done the latter, and I probably will have many more. What I do sometimes is say, we'll try it that way for a while, but then you're going to have to get realistic if we don't have business after 30 and 60 days. I try to get them to give me price reductions in advance so that if there are no bona fide offers, we just make an automatic price change. I always ask for their consent a second time, and then we just kick it into play. But a lot of times people will think, because they don't do this very often, that my house has the heavy duty nails. It's sort of an inside joke. My house is different than everybody else's house, and my house should sell for more than everybody else's house. Your house may be as good as everybody else's house, but it isn't any different. It may be in better shape than everybody else's house, but we've got to eliminate that emotional factor when we start listing a house. So what I do with people is I say, well, first of all, I'm going to give them two articles to read, which I'm going to go over with you. And then secondly, I'm going to do what is called a competitive market analysis, or right pricing, if you'll have it. And that's where I literally go out and try to find houses just like theirs that have sold recently in the same zip code or town that they're in, and compare it to theirs. And we'll talk about how that is done. But the first 30 to 60 days that you list a house is key. If you, in effect, are not setting the price right during that, you're going to lose some of the luster off of the sale, and then people are going to look and say, well, it's been on the market 60 days. He's already taken one price change. Maybe I should just sit around and wait. It looks like it's overpriced. People can pretty much tell that a house is overpriced. It's amazing how savvy people are. There's some tools out there which aren't very accurate. Zillow, one of the best marketing companies, and I'm a Zillow preferred agent, will give you what's called a Zestimate, or a Z for Zillow, I guess. And they'll put on the very bottom that we could be 30% off on this price, but in effect nobody ever reads the fine print on the bottom, and people will come to me and say, whoa, Zillow says my house is worth 5.25. You're saying it's more like 480. Zillow is a bigger company than you. They must know more. No, quite honestly, Zillow's never been in the state of New Jersey. And more so, they've never been in your house. And even more so, they've never been in the houses that I'm using as comps for yours, which we sometimes visit to convince people. So we get this, I wouldn't say it's false information, but let me tell you how Zillow comes up with their price. What they do, for the most part, because they have no MLS input whatsoever, the MLS is not available to Zillow. So an MLS can tell that this house sold last year or 3 years ago, or one just like it sold recently, and Zillow does not have that information. So what Zillow takes is the total assessed value of the house. And it's usually within 10% of what the value of the house actually is. And then they take the total assessed value. That's the land plus the building is the total assessed value. That's what you pay your taxes on. And why we break the land away from the structure or building is that you can't improve land. You can only improve the structure. You can't depreciate land. You can only appreciate the structure. So for people who are investing, we keep land separately. It's usually about 20% of the total value, and a house is roughly the other 80%. Don't quote me on those numbers, but proportionately it's around that. And what Zillow does, it'll take all the houses and let's pick an area. I live in Clinton Township, so let's pick Clinton Township. What it'll do is it'll pick all the houses in Clinton Township that sold in the last 6 months, and it will take all of the total assessed values for those houses and add it to one total, and it'll take all the actual sales prices for those houses and add it to another total, and it'll divide the sale price by the total assessed value, and they'll come out to say that we're selling houses in Clinton Township for roughly 106% of the assessed value, the total assessed value. Then they will use that and they'll say, okay, well, your total assessed value is 500, so your Zestimate is 530. Well, your house could be really beat up, or on the opposite end or the antithesis side, be really improved, and they don't know that. They haven't taken that into consideration. MLS takes that into consideration because it knows the actual prices per house. But they put out this estimate. I can't tell you how many times people show up, there's a lot of paper in their hand, and I have to say, look, this isn't the way it's done. This is the way Zillow gets your attention. There's a second estimating service, and that is an estimating service that is run internally by the National Association of Realtors. That is a little more scientific because not only does it take what Zillow starts to use, but then it blends in Garden State MLS information for our area and for other areas. There's a Middlesex, and then there's a trend for Mercer County. And it comes up with a much more scientific. They're usually not that far apart. And quite honestly, even that system has never been in your house, so they don't know if you've done recent improvements. That's where people like Joe Peters come to play. I come over, I take a look at your house, I look at when it was you purchased your house, I look at what it is you're planning to do when you sell your house, so I understand your timetable, and then I talk through the investments that you've put into your house since you've purchased it, so I can give you ample credit for that. And what happens is we get a much more accurate price point by doing that. And sometimes I even have to call realtors for houses that have sold recently and ask them, why did this sell so high or why did this sell so low? Because it should make pretty much sense. And sometimes when you look at the comparable sales, they don't. And that's where a realtor comes into play. So what I do is I try to find three or four houses identical, if not very similar to your house or townhouse or condo, that have sold in the last 6 months in your immediate area, within a square mile. If I can't find, let's take the easier example first. If you're in a townhouse development, I'm probably going to be able to find three or four, just like yours, same model, that have sold in that period of time. And then I could look and see what their total assessed values are and say, well, okay, this one's a little higher, so let's see. Yep, he's got a finished basement. Here's another one that's a little on the high side. He's got a new kitchen. And these two sold for identical or are assessed at identical prices, and that hasn't changed in years. And, yeah, they're pretty much the way they bought them. And now these are all 8 years old, but one is a new kitchen, one is a new basement, and we have to take all of that in consideration. That's the easiest example. The next example would be if I can't find something identical to yours. Let's say I can find something that has one more bedroom than yours, but it's in the same development, and it's sold recently. Well, what I do is I take the square footage of the additional bedroom, and I make a deduction. And I'll say, okay, your house is assessed at 400. That house is assessed at 440. It's actually assessed at 10% more than yours is assessed at, but let me take the square footage as well and take that into play. So there's a couple of things: improvements, square footage, and then features. People, it's a running joke that A swimming pool adds little, if any, value to a house. Quite honestly, it's said internally that if you want a free swimming pool, find a house identical to yours, sell yours, buy it, and you're going to get a swimming pool for free because it adds no value to the house. And there's two reasons for that. A lot of people don't want a swimming pool. It is a risk factor. It is a maintenance and expense factor. And then thirdly, it takes up a nice piece of the backyard usually. Other people do want a swimming pool, and if you've got a new, real high-end swimming pool, you might get 2 or 3% extra on the price of the house for it. But if you put $50,000 into a swimming pool 10 years ago, I can tell you, you're probably not going to get any value for the swimming pool. As a matter of fact, you're going to eliminate half of your possible buyers. So it makes it harder to sell your house. But things that do improve the house, curb appeal, anything to do with curb appeal. If you put professional landscaping and a new front porch and a nice doorknob, don't forget a shiny doorknob. It makes a real difference to people. But a new door, new hardware on the door, a brass kick plate, they can pull up to the front of that house and say, I can see myself living there. Secondly, I can see my friends pulling up and say, that's a nice looking house. That's what we call curb appeal. So curb appeal, very important. If people pull up to a house and go in and they love the house, but they go out and they sit and look at it from the curb and they don't like the looks of it, they're probably going to keep looking. Because curb appeal is important for the reasons that I mentioned it's important. Then, the next two items you can do to improve the value of a house is update the kitchen and update the bathrooms. If you go and put a $60,000 kitchen in a $500,000 colonial, and you've done it in the last 2 or 3 years, you're probably going to get half your money back. So we always tell people, don't do it when it's time to sell because you're not going to raise it by the price. You're going to raise it like 50 cents on the dollar. And if you did it 10 years ago, it probably isn't going to count. It has a diminishing factor as it's now an older and older kitchen. As time goes on, there's a little more wear and tear. Bathrooms are the same way. Rec rooms would come next. If you have a finished basement and there's a rec room with a wet bar and it's carpeted and it's dry and it's professionally done, you probably can add about 30 cents on the dollar for what went into that rec room. We have a whole chart for this. So if we're comparing a house that's got a three-car garage to a house that's got a two-car garage, we say, what's the price point on the house? What's the value of the garage? We take it out. If you got one house that's got three full baths and you've got another one just like it that only has 2.5, we have a value for the half a bath and we take it out. It's very much what an appraiser does when they come to appraise your house. So what we try to do is make your house equal to the ones that we're looking at it in comparison to by adjusting the factors that aren't equal. And for every factor that is there, we have a chart. And for those of you who are watching me on live on Facebook, the chart looks something like this. It's a big chart with pricing going across the top, items going down the side, and for a price point, we go a 250 house, 400, 750, million, 2, 3 million house. Bathrooms, a half bath, and the smaller house is worth $2,000, and the medium size, it's worth $5,000, and the 750, and so on. It goes up. If you have a basement versus no basement, a small house, it's worth $5,000 extra. Medium house, it's worth $11,000. Larger house, $16,000. If it's a walkout, it adds in some extra value. If your furnace and air conditioning are newer, adds value. If you have a garage with two versus three, the three has some value. If you have patios and decks, it has some value. If you have some special energy items, it has some value. If you have made renovations to the bathroom, the kitchen, the rec room, they all have some value. And we can add that in and subtract that out as we compare your house to other houses. Every once in a while, we'll get a house that there's nothing to compare it to. And we'll have to take a house similar to it that's in the next town. And it's a little less accurate, but we can still do the same thing. But An appraiser typically takes your house and compares it to three houses that have sold very similar in value in the same general area over the last 90 days, 180 max. So we get the emotions out of it. We're comparing a house to other houses that have sold just like it. Now, I'll give you a good example of people with an ostrich effect, putting their head in the sand because they really don't want to see it. They think their house is worth a certain price, and it's Sunday, and we're doing an open house, and there's three or four houses in that zip code that are on the market worth in 25,000 of theirs. And I say to them, what are you going to do today? Well, we're going to go while you're doing the open house and do some shopping, or we're going to go see grandma, or we're going to take the kids to the park. I say to them, why not go look at your competition? Because these houses may not have been on when yours came on, and in effect, you then will know who, what other houses people are looking at that are also looking at yours. Because your house gets bracketed between two or four other houses. People will come from a house with a brand new kitchen, and it's priced at $500. And they'll look at the second house, which could be yours, and it's got a 10-year-old kitchen, and it's priced at $500. And they'll go to a third house that's got new kitchens and new bathrooms, and it's priced at $500. Well, guess what they're going to do? They're going to eliminate yours, because we tell them, just keep number one and number two in mind as you're going through, unless you see a house you really love and you want to put some money into. So you may say, yeah, my kitchen is clean and it's spotless, but it's 20 years old, but it's clean and it's spotless. It's still 20 years old. And the people that are looking at your house are going to look at other houses that are going to have newer kitchens, newer bathrooms, other newer features, and you have to keep that in mind. Now, let's talk about things that don't add value to a house that you have to put money into. If you need to put a new roof on a house, it may make it worth a little bit more than a house of an older roof if you have a newer roof. But nobody's going to give you the money back for the newer roof. They expect the roof in good condition when they buy it. I had one customer kept telling me about the $300 water heater. There's nobody going to give you extra money for your house because it's got a new $300 water heater. They expect it to have a new water heater regardless of the price. Another thing was if you had to make repairs. I had one woman call me and she said, well, I painted this room and we repointed the brick around the fireplace and we resealed all the windows and we put some new carpeting in here in one room out of eight, and we think that all adds value to the house. And I had to tell her, no, it doesn't add value to the house. It may make your house sell quicker than one that doesn't have all of that in it, but it's not going to add value to the house. The things that add value to the house are the things I've mentioned: kitchens, bathrooms, curb appeal items, maybe a swimming pool, maybe a finished rec room. So we get into this emotional effect that, well, Mary down the street sold her house 2 years ago. It's the same model as mine, and she got $530. Well, a lot changed in 2 years. The house that sold down the street 2 years ago for $530 isn't comparable to your house today. It's a different market than it was. She might have been in the market 2 years ago where the person came into town, was being transferred in, was only going to be there for 3 years, and overpaid for her house because they said, this will do, let's overpay it, we don't have a lot of time, we're not going to be here forever. And now you're putting your house on, and the people that are looking at it are expecting to raise their family there, and they're pretty picky. And it's 2 years later, and the economy is different, and interest rates have changed. Look what happened in November and December when we had two prime rate hikes. We saw prices drop immensely in those 2 months. If you were for sale the end of September and you were had your house priced round numbers at around 500K, and we had those two interest rates go through, hikes go through, by the end of that time frame, your house was probably worth 485, 480, because people couldn't get as much for what they have to spend per month. And how does that work? Well, 1 point on interest. If the interest merely goes from a 4% interest rate to a 5% interest rate, That 1 point will cost you 9% of your buying power. So if at 4% you could afford a $500,000 house, at 5%, 9% less, you could only afford a $455,000 house. And if at the same time, which is usually the case, prices have risen a little, it may be you can only afford a $435,000 house because the prices have gone up. Or maybe a 425 if you're near a real popular price point and the prices have gone up. So the other thing I get is that, well, not only is my house special, it's got the heavy-duty Niels. It's in a great area. I'm near to shopping. I'm near to schools. I've got good schools. I'm near to transportation. All of those things are worth something. But they're only worth so much. It's not going to make your house worth 10% more than the next house that's only a mile away and also has all of those things. I always tell people there's two factors into pricing the value of your house. One is the price point that it's in, because we have different markets for different price points, different buyers for different price points. And two is the area that it's in. Let's talk about price point first. If your house is under $400,000 and you're in Hunterdon County and it's clean, it is probably going to sell very quickly. I would think average sale in Hunterdon County right now is under 4 to 6 weeks for a house that I just described. If your house is between $400,000 and $600,000 and it's clean and you're in Hunterdon County, And let's pick a popular area like Clinton Township that I mentioned before. It's one of our more popular areas. You're probably going to take 3 to 4 months to sell your house because there's less buyers. There's more competition. Things are staying on the market a little longer. And the buyers that are moving in and out in that price pot are either buying their second or third house, or they're being transferred in. And we have some people coming in with Exxon. We probably will start to have some people coming in with Unicom and other companies that are developing corporate structures in our area. So you not only have a price point, but then you have a location. If you're in Clinton Township and you're in a $400,000 house, what I said is going to happen. It's going to sell really quickly if it's clean and priced properly. If you're in Frenchtown and you're in a $400,000 house, it's going to take a while. There's a market in Frenchtown, but since it's virtually impossible to commute effectively to New York from Frenchtown, where you can still do that from Clinton Township, although we're seeing less and less people do it, then you are not going to have an easy time selling your house because there's less and less people looking in that area. So all of those things need to be considered. It's time for me to play a few more of our commercials. That's how this show stays on the air, and I'll be right back.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
So once again, it's Joe Peters of Coldwell Banker, and I'm doing real estate matters, and we're going to go through a couple of articles that talk about how to set the price on your home. This first one I touched on briefly, and it says, selling your house in Hunterdon or Somerset County, make sure the price is right. And I do business across both counties. And it starts, have you ever watched The Price is Right? You know that the only way to win is to be the one to correctly guess the price of the item you want without going over. That means you guess, your guess may be just slightly under the retail price. In today's shifting real estate market, where more inventory is coming on the market and home values are projected to appreciate at lower rates than in previous years, homeowners will not be able to price their homes as aggressively as they have in the last couple of years. It's turned from a seller's market into a buyer's market, is what it's saying. They'll have to employ the same strategy and be the closest without going over. As we've explained before, pricing your home at slightly below market value actually increases the number of buyers who are going to see your house. Over the last 6 months, more inventory has come on the market, while the month's supply of inventory has dropped. This means that demand for houses is still very strong throughout the country. Homeowners who make the mistake of overpricing their homes will eventually have to drop the price. This leaves buyers wondering if the price drop was caused by something was wrong with the house, and in reality, it has nothing to do with the price. It was just too high. It's nothing to do with the house. The price was just too high. Bottom line, if you're thinking about listing your home for sale this year, let's get together and go through some of these items. Here is what pricing a little low gets. Let's say your market value, if you price your house within market value and 10% above market value, 60% of the potential buyers will take a look at it on the internet. Now, let's face it. Buyers are pretty savvy. I have a friend who is a 93-year-old grandmother, and he went to show her his new Apple tablet a couple of years ago, and she picked it up and showed him a few things. No matter who you are, unless you're living in a cave, and there are some technically non-savvy or challenged people, but I would say 95% of people know how to use the internet, and they're looking at prices. And this is saying price it at market, 60% will see it. Price it below market, 75% will see it by 10%. And if you go with 15% under market, 90% will look at it. There's an old example that somebody, one of my managers once gave me, and said if you price your house too high, and let's say your house is worth $500,000. That's the number I've been picking on today. And you price your house at $550,000. You may get a few people come look at it. We call them looky-loos up front. But all of a sudden, there's nobody looking at your house. Where if you price that same house at $450,000, you'd probably have a constant flow of people looking at your house. So we're not advocating you price it too low. We're just advocating you don't price it too high, and you price it just under where the value should be. So if we're saying that the house is a $500,000 house, and that is probably where you should be pricing it, And at the end of the day, we sell houses for 2 to 3% off, which means you'll get about $490. If you're expecting to get $490 for the house, price it at $500. Don't price it at $505. I guarantee you, you're going to lose half of the lookers at $505. I happen to have one priced that way, and it's a long discussion. But I think the house is priced right and it's overvalued for what it is. But the market's dropping. And if you price your house too high, you're going to lose a lot of the lookers at your house. If you price your too low, you're going to get a lot of people look at it, and you're probably going to get into multiple offers. Well, multiple offers are a wonderful thing because if somebody comes in and you only have one bid, let's say you price it at $500, you get bid $485. And you go back to them and you say, well, we'll take $495. And they come back and say, well, we'll give you $490. And you say, well, I'll split the difference, $490, $2.5. And they say, nope, $490, that's it. Now you have no other offers. Where if you had another offer and you were doing the same thing and he was willing to take it, well, then you're in great shape. You may even get above asking. We see that in the hot price points. But it's really difficult to get multiple offers when your house is priced too high. As a matter of fact, it's really difficult to get any offers when your house is priced too high. And what are some of the reasons that people price their house too high? One is they won't listen to their realtor. Two is they're trying to get the customer to pay their realty fee. That just simply doesn't work. The customers aren't that dumb. Three is they have this fixation that their house is worth $525 when it should be listed at $500 and sold at $490. And it takes them 3, 6 months, maybe two realtors, because they feel a realtor made a mistake because they couldn't listen. And after 6 months, they go to another realtor. And the second realtor says, look, you listed at $500. I'm not taking it. And we say the second realtor sort of benefits from the situation because they've got a beat up buyer, and sometimes the buyer in effect is getting to a point where he has to sell. Take into effect or consideration why people sell a house. It's usually, I wouldn't say it's 100%, but it's better than 90, a life event. It's either they are going to trade up, they've outgrown a house, they're going to trade down, the kids have gone to school, they don't need as much square footage, or they're in the wrong location, they're getting on in their years, and the house has too many steps, and they need the same size house or a little smaller, but they need it more on one floor. They need better transportation connections, they need better shopping connections, somebody's going too far. It's usually a life event that precipitates the sale of a house. And when that happens, the house is worth so much. We're sitting right now 4 months supply, which is pretty good, and that's what we look at. When we gauge a month's supply, we say, okay, in your town, in your price point, there are 10 houses for sale, and one of them went under contract last month. That means if we didn't add any more houses and we sold all the rest, at one per month going under contract, we have 10 months supply. That's a horrible number. That means the houses are overpriced. I don't care what your price point is, high, medium, or low. But if you had the opposite go on and you had 10 houses listed and four of them went under contract in the last month, that means you have a 2.5 month supply. You're probably getting multiple offers because that's a nice, brisk movement. 4 to 6 months is the average month supply that we want to have. And when you're somewhere between 4 and 6, your price is priced where it needs to be, and that's a normal turnover rate. Prices aren't going up, prices aren't going down. You get above 6 months, the 10-month example, you are going to be having pressure on your price in order to sell your house. And when you get down to the 2.5 or below the 4-month supply, you're going to see price appreciation because there's multiple people looking in that price point and they're willing to pay more just because there is no inventory. The other thing that comes into play here is that you have to look at the time of the year. I've had houses come on the market in June, and people say it's the prime market. And I say, no, it's still a good market, but it's not the prime. The prime market was March, April, May. By June, they want to be under contract so they can be in that house in August and the kids could start school in a new school year in a new location. If you put a house on the market in September, there's still a market, but it's half the market of what before June is, and it's probably less than what June, July, August are. If you put your house on the market in November, you get very little activity. We're not doing a lot of business between November and Super Bowl. Thanksgiving to Super Bowl is sort of holiday time. And yeah, some people have to sell their houses, and houses will come on the market during that time frame. But we're not going to have a lot of activity. But the activity that's happening in that time frame is good activity because your house shows well because it's ready for the holidays in a lot of cases. And the people that are coming through need to buy something or they wouldn't be out. Most people are thinking about holidays and not doing anything. That's why it's slow. So the time of the year the market comes on is important. Your location is important. The style of your house is important. The condition of your house is important. The price of your house is important. There's a lot of moving factors here. And in order to get it done right, you really need a realtor to help you. And by the way, there is no realtor, it's realtor. And I've got an article here that talks about, is your house priced to sell and what does a realtor bring to you that you don't bring to the table yourself? Quite honestly, if you were to go out and list your house on your own as a for sale by owner, or initials FSBO as we call it, you're probably going to overprice your house. You're not only going to try to save the real estate agent fee, but you're going to price your house too high because you don't know how to price it. And you're going to price it with your head in the sand because you're probably not going to go out and look at other prices. If you do, you're not going to be objective. You're going to say, yeah, they got a newer kitchen, but ours is still worth what theirs is worth. It's not, and it's not going to sell for what theirs is going to sell for if everything else is equal. We in New Jersey in 2017 had about a 4% appreciation. In 2018, we had about a 3% appreciation. And in 2019, we're going to have more like a 2% appreciation. So we're starting to see things slow down a little, but there's still a market. And it's quite a difference than having a slower market than not having a market. The forecast that we're looking at today says we'll have an economic downturn somewhere between 24 and 36 months out. It will be just a general adjustment. The market has been growing too fast if that happens, and it will adjust to the point where inflation is now in check and it will take off again. It doesn't mean that we're going to lose money on values of homes like we did in 2005 to 2010. It just means that the growth rate will slow down and maybe be minimal, if at all, for the next couple of that time frame. And then once we get through it, the market will resume and prices will start to go up again. Let's talk a little about price point, because I think that's key to understanding what we're going through. If we're going to have a downturn 3 years out, the market will slow down about 2 years out because people will not feel comfortable enough to go out and do a major investment like a house or a new car. And the further to the west you are, the quicker it's going to happen because there's less jobs. There's less people commuting to New York where they can make the money to afford to not only live but commute to where your house is at. So we're sitting in Hunterdon County with houses selling really quickly under $400,000. 400 to 500 is an average market. 500 to 600, it becomes a little challenged. That's when we're starting to see the transferees and the transfer outs, like Exxon's bringing some people in, and they're typically buying in the 400 to 600. I would say right around, right under the 500 mark on average from what I've seen. There may be others I haven't seen that are above that. There may be some that are below that. But you're in a good market if you're in one of the more popular areas, Clinton Township, Reddington, Raritan. We sell half the inventory we sell in Hunterdon County or in those four towns. We still have 22 towns left and they're getting the other half. So it's really meager in some places. But once you get above 600,000, it gets very, very competitive. And the reason it gets competitive is that we're not selling a lot of houses up there. I've seen months where we haven't sold anything above 700. This month, it looks like we sold a bunch in the 800s, and I'm wondering if there's a new development. I've got to look at it further. It's only the second of the month. I'm still analyzing the data. But we sold about 10 houses over 700,000. So, you know, it's spring. It's busy. And all that means is they went under contract. We haven't closed on them yet. I'm saying in the month of March, just finished, it's now the 2nd of April, we sold about 8 or 10. Next week, I'm going to go through these statistics in more detail. So I said, let's talk about price. You get above 700,000, it's probably going to take you the better part of a year to sell your house. You get above 800 or 900,000, it's probably going to take more like 2 years to sell your house. Now, in both of those price points, let's say from 700,000 up, there are people going through life events. One may be a job transfer where they're not getting a relocation package. Another one might be a divorce. Another might be a death in the family. Another might be loss of job. And they need to sell their house. So you come on priced exactly where you need to be with your $700,000 house. And you find that there's a house that was on the market 2 years ago for $999 that's now selling in the low eights, high sevens. And the person who looks at your house looks at that house. And they say, wow, I could have almost twice the house for another $75,000 more. So these houses are coming downhill in order to find the market. And you're pricing your house correctly, and you're competing with them. They're not the same house, but they could be the same buyer, because the buyer thinks in how much per month can I afford. It's usually about 30% of their gross income. So you got to take a lot of that stuff into consideration. That's where a realtor comes into play. A realtor can help you understand these factors, understand your particular market, and understand how to price your house so that it will sell. I'll give you an example. I went into a townhouse in Flemington South in the last 4 weeks. We looked at the house. We thought it would sell somewhere around 210 to 212. We listed the house roughly 220, and within 10 days it sold at the list price, a little higher even. And the reason it sold, it was the cleanest house on the market, and there wasn't a lot of houses on the market. We got it on the market at a prime time. I can't say that would happen again if I put it back on the market today. But for that point, the agent who brought the offer in was an agent that looked at the value and said to her customer, this is a clean house. It's got a newer air conditioner and heater. It's got an updated kitchen. It's clean throughout. It's move-in, maybe a coat of paint, maybe a little redecorating, and you're on. Don't let this one slip away from you. That's a smart agent. And the buyers who came in with her listened to her, and they made us a little bit above full-price offer. So it is a hot market. Depends where you're at geographically, and it depends where you're at price point-wise. And it is a competitive market, and that depends where you're at. If you're not in a good geographic or price point area, well, then it's much more competitive. This has been Joe Peters. I enjoy talking to you, and I'd love to talk to you one-on-one. Most people that call me, we talk for an hour because they've got questions. I've got answers. I write a newsletter. You can go onto my site, jpeters.com. You can do the Contact Joe button and subscribe to the newsletter, and then you'd get it in your email every month from that point forward. I'll be back next week. We'll talk more about what's happening in the market next week. The month just ending, which was the month of March. And I enjoy talking with you. I'm glad you tuned in. Talk to you again next week. Thank you very much.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees.
As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As the House Oversight Committee holds a hearing after the White House reportedly gave security clearances to dozens of people with disqualifying issues in their backgrounds, Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio cries foul.
3:30 the day before you schedule a 8:30 a.m. interview for the very next day at the organizational meeting of this committee, you pledged you would not do that. You said closed-door testimony would be done so that members could attend, but you pick a Saturday on a week we're not even in session and tell us the day before.
Those comments yielded no reaction from Democrat Elijah Cummings, who chairs the committee. Several tanks appear to be burning at a large chemical plant fire near Houston, Texas. Firefighters are working on getting the flames out near the center of the KMCO facility in Crosby. Seen from miles away are two columns of thick black smoke billowing up in the air. KMCO specializes in chemical manufacturing. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
President Trump says without a question about legal citizenship added to the 2020 census, the count will be a waste of money. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more.
Mr. Trump went on Twitter to state, "Can you believe that the radical left Democrats want to do our new and very important census report without the important citizenship question? Over 250,000 people have applied for temporary positions as census takers." Tim Olson of the Census Bureau tells us about the pay.
Pay rates range from $13.50 to $30 per hour, depending on where you live. Field employees are reimbursed for official mileage and receive all the equipment and training needed for their job.
I'm John Clemens.
Yesterday, Republican Representative Terry Collins announced that she's filing a bill that would overturn Roe v. Wade. She wants to ban all abortions in Alabama within 2 weeks of conception. The legislation was filed today and, if passed, could allow for murder charges related to the killing of a fetus. This is USA Radio News.